So Dave, last week he shared powerfully, and I encourage you to listen to that message on our website. But he wants to encounter us in a fresh Holy Spirit outpouring, a baptism. He wants to enter into the wardrobe of our lives and do a makeover. And every lady wants a new wardrobe. The men, not so much, but the ladies, yes, I need a new summer wardrobe. It is warm. It's very warm. And we need, but he spoke about eternal clothes, garments of salvation. He spoke about clean clothes. He spoke about supernatural clothes. I should test you rather than help you. Eh? And prophetic clothes and happy clothes or joyous clothes. And so as we continue our series around the Holy Spirit, just I'm going to, for the sake of time, just crack straight into this morning's message. That was a bit of a long intro, but I just felt it was so prophetic, a prophetic encouragement, two prophetic encouragements. So if you can remember that picture of the race, and you can remember the picture of the things that God wants to uproot and deal with in our lives. And so being filled with the Spirit, you see, Jesus, friends, needed to be full of the Spirit. And then he also needed to be empowered by the Spirit. How much more do you and I need? If Jesus needed that, how can we do life without the baptism in the Spirit? Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is Jesus in the temple and he's reading from the scroll. And he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And in Isaiah, it goes on to say, and the year of the vengeance of our God. You notice that he doesn't quote that. That's coming. But this is what he was proclaiming, the good news. Good news, liberty to those who downtrodden. Good news to those who bruised. Good news to those who crushed. Good news to those who broken down by calamity. That's the Amplified. That's good news, friends. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? To bind up the brokenhearted. And so the sequence of events before this was that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You think led into the wilderness by the Spirit? Yes. That was part and parcel of his preparation. And after he'd spent 40 days in the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And when you hear the word Jesus Christ, and we hear it a lot these days, but not in a good way, or Jesus Messiah. In fact, at June's funeral next Monday, we're going to be singing Jesus Messiah. It's one of her favorite songs. And you're welcome to join us. It will be 11:30 on the Monday morning, June Porter's funeral. But that was a song that really meant something to her. And you might think, well, what is that Christ or Messiah, Jesus Christ or Jesus Messiah? What does Christ or Messiah mean? You've heard that and maybe thought, well, maybe that's his surname. Maybe, you know, it's not. It's the Greek word for anointed. The Hebrew word for anointed is Messiah. So it's Jesus, the anointed one. That's what it's saying. And we can get a little bit confused. You know, our son Jed, we used to call him Jetty Boy all the time. We used to say, hey, Jetty Boy, Jetty Boy. So he gets to school and the teacher said, what's your name? So he says, Jetty. So he says, what's your surname? Boy. He just got it all confused. He thought, you know, that was his name, Jetty Boy. So friends, that's when it comes to the Lord, don't lose sight of the anointed one. That's who he is, the Messiah, the anointed one. Even before his birth, people were calling him the Christ. This is even before the angels today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is anointed one, the Lord. Of Simeon in Luke 2:26, it's been revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one. So here's the thing. Jesus belonged to the Father. He was called to preach good news to the poor. It was his anointed. He was born anointing. He was born for it. And because of that anointing, the Holy Spirit came upon him in power. And Jesus only began to work out his anointing when the empowering of the Spirit came upon him. So what about us? That's a great challenge for all of us. God, even this morning I was praying, I want to, Lord, be anointed afresh. Anoint me, Lord, again. Empower me again, Lord. Who do we belong to? What does he want to do and how will we do it? That's the big question. Well, one, you belong to God. We live like we belong to ourselves. We live like God's got no claim on us. But the truth is we belong to Him. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, I remember this passage distinctly. You're not your own. You bought at a price. What does it say? Do you not know? Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God. You're not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. My body is not at my disposal to do what with what I please. It even goes on. It's a whole thing about sexual purity. I mean, it's addressing sexual immorality in the Corinthian church, saying don't unite yourself with a prostitute. You'll be one with her in body, or one with them in body, whether it's a male or female prostitute, and they are both. You'll be one. And it's saying, don't do that. You belong to God. You're meant to be joined to Him and Him alone. And then it also says in Romans, we belong to the Lord. And then secondly, we are called to do the same thing that Jesus did. And so we looked at that in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. And then in John 20, 21, it says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You've been commissioned. You've been, rise up. You've been appointed. You've been anointed to make ready a people for the Lord. I remember that at an eldership, you know, when there's an ordination and they ordain an elder. And I can remember the guy grabbing him, lay hold of everything for which Christ has taken hold of you. And then singing a song, rise up. You've been anointed. You've been appointed to make ready a people for the Lord. But that's not just for leadership, friends. That's for every one of us, every single one of us. And then thirdly, because the Holy Spirit has anointed us, He empowers us. We can't see the empowering apart from the anointing, because it says in Acts 1, wait until you've been clothed with power. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses. You will receive power. Dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. You think of anything that's got like, I mean, that's dynamite. There you go. Dunamis, the Greek word. And then it talks about witnesses. The word in Greek is martis, which is where we get the word martyr. True. A people who are willing to give their lives. A speaking people. A people who live for God. And so, friends, I'm going to crack on straight into every Christian who's come to faith and put their trust in the Lord Jesus has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. That's where the challenge lies this morning. John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus in Matthew 3, I baptize you with water for repentance. And so you might have to skip through a few slides, I think, because I've jumped down in my notes. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Who wants fire? That's a fire from God. What does fire do, friends? It's not the most comfortable thing. It warms us, but it also purifies. It's refiner's fire. Our God is a consuming fire. When He comes, it cleanses, it purifies. It's a crucible. That's what it is. A fire is a crucible. And it transforms and it purifies and it brings the dross out of the gold and until you can see your reflection in it. That's what it's doing, and that's what the Lord wants to do. And so Peter sees and experiences this firsthand at Pentecost, and he later testifies in Jerusalem, and that's recorded in Acts 11, how the Spirit fell on the disciples, or the Gentiles, not the disciples, but the Gentiles in Caesarea. And verse 16 of Acts 11, and I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so this word baptize, friends, it's not just indwelling. It carries with it to be overwhelmed, to be overcome. Have you ever been overwhelmed and overcome by the presence of God, by the power of God, the Spirit of God? To plunge, to sink, to drown, to be immersed, submerged, like a sponge to the point of overflowing, like a cloth that's immersed in dye and takes on the nature or that's saturated by that dye. And you can't take the dye out of the cloth because it's so much part of, infused into that cloth. And so an anointing for a particular task or reason. And Acts 1, when I said you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you. And for what purpose? To be witnesses where? Locally, translocally, to the ends of the earth, the Jerusalem, the Judea, the Samaria, to the nations, to all peoples. And so in Acts 2, the people are praying. There's a hunger. There's a longing. You pray for 10 days. You're probably hungry. Now, there was a spiritual hunger in that place. 10 days in the upper room. They were thirsty. They were hungry. And they were ready. And they were waiting. And it said, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a powerful moment. And it happens more than once. We kind of think, well, that was the Acts 2 one. No, within two chapters, Acts 4:31, a further infilling, a further refilling or refueling. I think someone posted a picture of being a fuel bowser. I think it was Brian this morning. This is, you know, going to be refueled. I mean, there, man, imagine that. I wouldn't mind that in my garden. I would never need to go to the petrol station anymore. Just a massive bowser. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And then in Acts 17, it's just not a one-off, friends. It's not just, oh, that's Acts 2. There's just recurrences here. It says there was some kind of manifestation when they received the word of God, some evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And then when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. That was a wrong spirit. So even with the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Acts 2, you see very similarly the Ananias and Sapphira. There was, even to the point was, how has Satan so filled your hearts that you could lie to the Holy Spirit? Friends, in the midst of an outpouring, you can have the enemy at work. Which filling are you getting? Where are you being filled? Are you being filled with the right thing, or is the enemy at work? And then it goes on to say in Acts 19, what happened in Ephesus, Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, just a mighty outpouring, and they start prophesying and they start speaking in tongues. As somebody said, you know, if you compare, it's not a great comparison, but if you had a pair of shoes, why would you want to cut the tongues out? You want the whole thing. You know, you don't want to just take the little, and it, no, you want the whole thing, friends. Don't want to fall short. Secondly, why should we be filled? What's the simple answer? We're invited to. John 7, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me. That's Jesus speaking, and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, not trickles, friends, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, and whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's glory. That's wonderful. It's just a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk, makes the blinds to see. Opens prison's doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Back to my childhood. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. You don't know. You didn't. You had an unhappy childhood. It's never too late to have a childhood where you can learn these songs. I'll teach them to you. And so, because the baptism of the Spirit is the promise of promises, it's a good gift from the Father. So that's the second reason why we want to be filled. It's a promise of the Father, a promise of all promises, a good gift. In Luke 11, verse 9, I tell you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Verse 13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We receive not because we ask not. Being filled with the Spirit, we experience a radically more of the presence of God, more of the sense of God. Even if we don't experience the presence of God all the time, we can experience it. We can experience the love of God. This is one of my favorite verses, Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame. And we spoke and sang about living hope this morning. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. That's liquid love. That's lavish love from above, poured out through this divine love relationship or romance with the Spirit. I've heard a preacher say, they started the day, good morning, Holy Spirit. That challenged me. That encourages me. Another preacher said, don't grieve him. He's all I have. Don't grieve him. as they were ministering on the stage. They're speaking of something special, something intimate. Friends, I want more of that love. I want more of that power, more of Him. And another song close to my heart, more love, more power, more of You in my life. More joy, more righteousness, more peace in the Holy Spirit. Glory. More, the joy of His presence. And in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And then your worship life, your prayer life's revitalized. Friends, when we're filled with the Spirit, we edified, we built up in faith as we speak in tongues. It's our love language to God. There's a power to prophesy. There's a power to witness. There's a power to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And being filled means to live the Christian life, to be empowered in Christian ministry. Amen. So friends, who's baptized? Everyone. Every believer, not a select few. When? As soon as possible. Ideally, when we're saved, like in Cornelius' household, or when Jesus was baptized in water, the Spirit came upon him, demonstrated presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, when all the people were being baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, key, and was praying, how do you receive the Spirit? And was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With You, I'm well pleased." Some of you need to hear that this morning. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter with whom I'm well pleased. Why do I love you? Because you're mine. Why do my kids love you? Because they're mine. Why do I love them? Because they're mine. And how much do I love them? Well, give them a huge squeeze. So Jesus, full of the Spirit, faced some tests, came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then lastly, how? How do we get filled with the Spirit? We desire, we thirst, we ask. And then in faith, we believe and we receive. And you might have some barriers, and I know this is very common to many people. Doubt can be one of those barriers. I don't think I will receive. But remember the promise of promises. Why would He withhold? God responds to faith. Possibly another barrier, fear. What will happen to me? And then we start taking our eyes off Him and we look at ourselves. So the antidote is to look to Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. God's good. What He does is good. What He gives is good. Possibly another barrier, inadequacy. I'm not good enough. But just remember John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You are because of Him. You are adequate because of Him. And then surrender. Give over every part of your life in obedience to Him in a consecration moment. And we're going to do that as we come around the table of the Lord this morning. And I'm going to ask Ken to just facilitate that as we... It's a moment to meet with the Lord. It's a moment to not only reflect, but to respond. And say, God, here I am. Won't You fill me afresh? Fill me anew. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, You are the baptizer, and I do ask You, baptize now. Baptize me that I be filled to overflowing. I don't want just a drop. I don't even want a trickle. I want a fountain, a river that would flow out of me. God, I want more of You, more of Your love, more of Your power, more of You. Love of God poured into your hearts, not trickled in. Love of God poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that hope will not disappoint. So it's a liquid love. It's a lavish love. It's a love from above. Who doesn't want to receive that love? To set His love on you, to pour His love in you.